I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thanks to Pete for getting us up to date. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan, 1145. Our double play, what's going on in our lives, nothing to do with sports. I'm choosing between two things today. Either a TV show, conversation that needs to be had, or a restaurant I went into this week for the first time in a long time, and the experience was just so pleasant.
Ooh.
It's a fast food chain, by the way.
Oh,
I'll tell you no more.
I like this. There's some intrigue.
Double play at 1145. Craig Hoffman's our Redskins beat reporter. He's on the Mattress Warehouse hotline in Mobile, Alabama, where the barbecue is amazing and the football is bountiful, and where Bruce Allen will speak today to the assembled D.C. reporters, only a few of them on hand, including our guy Craig. You will hear that press conference at 4 o'clock right here on The Fan. What are the main things that need to be asked of Bruce Allen? You got to fit about 100 pounds into a 50-pound bag here.
Yeah, it's the first time he's talked to reporters en masse since the winning off the field press conference following the 2014 season. He's done a lot of one-on-one interviews since then, but none of them extensive, all short. Typically, the owners' meetings for about 5 minutes for each. And so I think there's a lot to get into. I think that they're, first and foremost, is how they're approaching the quarterback position and if there's an update on Alex Smith. I think that obviously the shakeup in the front office with Brian LaFamina and that the business side being washed out and what Bruce's role is now. I think we need to directly ask him what he makes of the social media movement for his job. Why does he feel he's still the right person for it, and how does he, why is he been able to keep the trust of Daniel Snyder in a league that is typically very results driven? You know, his results typically don't allow him or someone in his position to have this much time. Why is he still the right man for the job? And you know, how do you convince fans of that considering the vitriol towards him? I think those are just some of the things that need to be addressed, and the list is frankly a lot longer than that.
Craig, for me, the most important thing that I've never really heard, and this is something that I think is sort of the way that it is around the league, what have you been responsible for? Not you personally, Craig Hoffman, but I mean Bruce Allen. What was your call and what wasn't? Because each time somehow someone else has gotten blamed and fired for it, but he's remained. So was he not responsible for certain decisions? Was he responsible for others? Who is in charge? And that, I think, is the biggest issue there, where Doug Williams is telling people, no, I got Adrian Peterson. I think, you know, he might be mad at me because I did that. And then the other time we hear Doug Williams had to have his phone off when they traded for Alex Smith. Who's making the calls? I think you and I both know, but I would like to hear him address, you know, sort of directly, yes, this is what I was
he's
and was responsible for.
That,
but he'll never answer, right?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, it seems as though there isn't a actual answer to be had there, which is what's crazy. Like, the evidence you just put forth says there are different people in charge at different times. That some things are Jay decisions, some things are Bruce decisions, some things are, you know, Doug decisions, maybe in conjunction with Jay. And then some things are Dan Snyder decisions, and depending on the decision, and there's not like a defined, like, oh, this type of decision is
right.
A X person. It's like, no, I felt like making a decision, so I did, which is not an ideal way to run any organization, sporting franchise or not. So I do think that that is some kind of, you know, we need to formulate into that into some kind of question. I think you're right. Like, from a power structure standpoint, and typically their stock answer has been, and this is coming from Jay, is we make Redskins decisions, which means we get together and as a group we decide what's best. And that has also happened. There are definitely times where they have functioned in that manner, and even bringing in other voices, Alex Santos, Kyle Smith, et cetera, et cetera. Eric Schaefer obviously has a very large voice. So I think that on some level there are defined roles. But then there are times people step outside of those roles and it doesn't seem to have any type of repercussion other than people get mad at each other and they look goofy in the press. So I think that that is something that is interesting. And then also, another question for Bruce kind of along those same lines would be, you know, are you going to start speaking more when big decisions are made? You know, are you, you know, Doug has done some of that. Jay has been done some of that. Ultimately, from what we understand, these are your decisions. So do you feel like you should start speaking more and answer our questions for your fans moving forward? And is this a first step in that direction, or is this you decided to speak in Mobile randomly?
Well, it'll also be the first time he talks since Reuben Foster was signed.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep,
I mean, that's
kind of
come up, clearly.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one I forgot on that initial list. As you said, Grant, it's 100 pounds of stuff in a 50-pound bucket.
I don't envy you guys today. And the other thing I was thinking, too, now, these are things that he may not answer, but I'd be curious to just see how he dodges them almost, is would you be willing to take a quarterback at 15? And when you talk about the Alex Smith situation as a branch from that, and then what about, I'm really curious about this. I don't think he'll answer this at all, but I know for a fact this is a conversation they're having internally. Based on everything that happened with Griffin, based on the lack of cap space they've got the next couple of years and how valuable the picks are going to be, there is a reluctance to try to move up for a quarterback. Just based on all of these variables.
Sure, understandable.
I'd be curious how much what happened with Griffin factors into that. Or is it just a matter of they don't love the QBs? Like, you shouldn't move up a ton to get Daniel Jones. But if you can move up a lot and get Dwayne Haskins, that seems more intriguing. I would be curious to know if he had some truth serum, if basically that's even on the table, or that's something they wouldn't do based on this QB class.
Yeah, and the thing is, I don't know, even with truth serum, if he'd have an answer this early in the process. Obviously, there's going to be some thought based off of what happened with RG3 and trading up and all that kind of stuff. There's some scars there that are real. And any person that had been through that, no matter how ill-conceived or ill-executed, whatever, you know, they would have those scars. Good GMs have made bad trades that have probably affected how they think about things in the future. But it's just so early in the process, and I think probably the answer would be something on the lines of, you know, oh, we'll see what happens. You know, we're just going to draft by the board, and right now we're trying to get a good idea of setting the board because our college guys, the only ones have looked at these, and now it's my turn to look. It's Jay's turn to look. It's, you know, our coaching staff, all that kind of stuff. So I think that it really is early in the process, but eventually, yeah, that's something that needs to be addressed, you know, pre-draft press conference type of thing. You know, how are you looking at that position? And obviously it's all through the lens of what is your quarterback position status with Alex Smith, you know, making his first public appearance yesterday at a Wizards game and his leg in some kind of contraption that I've never seen before.
Everybody, Craig Hoffman is with us down in Mobile, Alabama, covering the Senior Bowl. Bruce Allen's talking today, 4 o'clock or so. We'll have an awful lot of that for you right here on 106.7 The Fan. Again, so many other things I want to know from him, and I know we're going to get those dodgy kind of answers like Neo in The Matrix, but I'm basically thinking of not only, you know, who made all the different calls and who's responsible for what, but what would you do about the fan apathy? The fact that less people give a damn than ever have, and the people that do care want you fired, as you kind of touched on earlier, Craig, but I want to know why Brian LaFemina got fired and why you're the best guy to take over that part of the role as the business has gone into the toilet. You know
right.
what I mean? Like, I don't know how you ask that tactfully.
Well, I think you don't give him any outs. You try not to wiggle around the question. You just say, you know, you guys hired a group of respected business people to come in, some of whom had NFL ties and some of whom worked with other organizations, and touted them as people who are going to be there for the fan experience. You decided to move on from them. Why? And then you get an answer, you know, and Bruce, you're now, from what we've been told, in charge of those operations. How do you plan on acting differently, or what part of your strategy is different than what they were doing? And then you stop talking, and you let him answer the question. And I think sometimes those types of things, you try to overqualify, you try to be really nice about it because it's a touchy question, and you try to, you know, weasel your way into an answer, and you just wind up getting crap back. I think just being pointed and letting the facts speak for themselves. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be like, oh, Brian was so nice, he came to our radio station. Are you going to come to our radio station? Like, you know, we're not trying to suck up to the guy. Like, it is what it is. The facts are they hired people. They told us how great they were. We got to experience that, but that's more of an opinion than a fact. They hired the people. They put out press releases. They said, these guys are great. They're here for the fans, and then they fired them. Why did that happen? And I think then you just let him answer the question, and then you take it down the road from there in terms of why is he the right guy and what is the new strategy in terms of engaging fans, knowing that the apathy is very real based off television ratings, attendance, et cetera, et cetera.
Do you know how many people from D.C. are there covering this?
Somewhere between 4 and 6, I believe. I know
you were there. Tarek and Rhiannon from The Athletic are there. Who else?
Right. Kareem is here from The Post. JP is here from NBC Sports Washington. I think there will be, Keim is not down here, but ESPN will have a reporter, around that scrum, because there's obviously going to be some national news. And I do wonder, you know, if there's other national types that come over. Does, you know, whoever else is down here, does NFL Network send someone over?
I mean, it's smart for him to talk today. Like, he gets to now claim he talked, and there are going to be tough questions, which is good, but he doesn't have to sit at the podium, which he's uncomfortable with, and he doesn't have to do it with 40 people and 25 cameras. So it's a smart move. If they handle it well, it'll be a good play for them as well.
I mean, yes and no. Yes, given the circumstances, but the circumstances are ridiculous. Like, you're a team president. You should be qualified to answer questions in a number of forums. Like, it shouldn't they shouldn't have to hide him. And I think that sometimes it's like, oh, this is smart by them. They you know, like, no, it's kind of ridiculous. Like, he should, one, if you want to do something more informal because just the podium setting's not for you, you have a giant office in Ashburn. You have multiple conference rooms. Let us come over up there. You know, we're on the same schedule. We got nothing going on right now until we came down here. We've had 3 weeks. You could have said, hey, send out a group to the core beat people and invite them over for an hour with Bruce or a 30-minute whatever.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I know. But, like, that's how it should be, and that's how it is in a lot of organizations. Obviously, we put in multiple requests after multiple different things happen. Those should have been granted at least once. There should have been press conferences. Like, the fact that we're finally talking to him in a group setting in Mobile, Alabama, Senior Bowl week, and it was kind of unannounced, says a lot.
It wasn't kind of unannounced. Companies have to make their decision to send someone to the Senior Bowl or not, and well after they had to do that, the Redskins said he was going to speak. So you're going to have...
The only reason I say kind of is it's not like we showed up at 3:30 today and Bruce is there like, hey, guys.
But people like us, like CK, and I give him credit, who are sending our reporter because it's what you should do. But there's 15 outlets that cover the team every
decisions.
Day here.
Yeah,
yeah, they 100%. Didn't send anybody.
100%.
So it's a cheap way out of it. Craig, thank you. You're going to do a good job. We know that. We appreciate
4 o'clock today.
The fact that at 4 we'll get to hear from him.
All right, thanks, guys.
See you.
There's our beat reporter, Craig Hoffman, in Mobile, Alabama, because we send beat reporters to events.
Yes, we do.
That's how journalism has to be done. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. Let's talk overtime rules and playoff games next. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. In the 1 o'clock hour, we'll ask you what question you would ask Bruce Allen if you were able to join him for today's press conference off to the side of the field in Mobile, Alabama, where the Senior Bowlers are going to be taking part in the first of several practices this week. Great stat that came out from Sunday's conference championship games, Danny. The Patriots have played 3 postseason overtime games with Tom Brady. The opposing team has never touched the football.
Is that right?
Isn't that crazy? They get the ball, he marches down the field, and they win with a touchdown. They finish the drive. Of course, the last one was Super Bowl 51 against Atlanta.
That's right.
And then you had Sunday's AFC title game. But you give Matt Slater credit because he calls it correctly in the heads or tails every single time.
He's great at it.
Who's their special teams captain, who they celebrate for that. But I did not chat with you about this yet. I have no idea where you're going to go. And oftentimes I have a pretty good beat on it, but I'm actually curious to see where you want to go with this. I made the case on the show yesterday. And you know, I've always thought that overtime is flawed in football in the regular season as well.
Oh, yeah. You know how I feel about that.
I want both teams to touch the football, and I want what is now a 10-minute overtime quarter to be 15 again because there's too many ties and it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You and I both would change overtime, but we have different philosophies on how to do it. As far as the postseason goes, are you okay with the fact that Pat Mahomes did not touch the ball?
No, never in a million years would I be okay with it.
Because here's the argument for what happened. The Chiefs had a chance, a la the Rams. The Saints got the ball first.
Uh-huh.
They lost. They lost because of an interception. A play was made on defense. Now, as far as I'm concerned, I want all 3 phases involved. If you want to take special teams out of it from a kickoff standpoint, just to expedite the process, to alleviate extra fatigue when it's, now 65, 70 minutes into a game, you can have field goals, you can have punts, special teams check. Defense, defending offense, and both teams get the ball. It's still 3 phases. It's still a complete game. I need a guy like Pat Mahomes or Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce to have a shot in the playoff overtime format without their season ending when they tied in regulation.
I don't care if it's Blake Bortles. I don't care if you bring back Vinny Testaverde. There are two camps on this. Camp number one, I can't believe that a game of that magnitude could be decided without one team touching the football. What I've argued all along, and I can understand not wanting it in the regular season because you're afraid of too many overtimes. I don't buy that, by the way, but I could acquiesce. Play a football game. Just continue football. 15 minutes, that's the period. Whoever wins the coin toss doesn't automatically win. Right now, it's about 55% historically. Teams that win the coin toss end up winning the game. And to some, that's not a big gap. I would argue it's about 10% more. That's huge. It potentially places huge import on something that's arbitrary. The idea that one team could get the ball and go down and score and the game is over, to me, is just outrageous. You either agree with me on its face that this must change at once, or you yell, just play defense, like a Neanderthal. You got to play defense. Okay, top four offenses are in the conference championship game. The game is built on offense. It's about offenses. The four best offenses are playing. Now the two of the four best offenses are going to go to the Super Bowl. Every penalty is against the defense for trying to stop the offense. But sure, yell somebody like a tough guy, just go play defense. Either it's abhorrent to you and you want it changed immediately. I'm willing to go to the stupid college rules where you gimmick it up. I'm willing to have a punt, pass, kick competition.
In the regular season, I would love to go to the college rules. I think that would be fun. In the playoffs, I would not do that. In the same way, and you could say, well, it's got to be consistent. No, it doesn't. In hockey, in the regular season, it's 3-on-3 overtime.
Because it could go forever.
And I think it's the most fun, amazing, awesome thing we have right now in sports. It is so perfect and so wonderful. I love 3-on-3 overtime hockey. Mm-hmm. Love it. I actually wish the periods were 10 minutes long rather than 5 before the shootout. I would rather watch 3-on-3 all night long, even though I'm a shootout guy, and great scene at the end of the Mighty Ducks when Julie the Cat makes the glove save. I need more 3-on-3 hockey. But you know what they do in the playoffs? They don't do that. They play hockey.
They play hockey.
Until the game ends.
Let the sport be decided by the sport. Mm-hmm. It's so basic to me. The arguments against, I always find flimsy, but I'm willing to even concede in the regular season. It's the NFC Championship. It's the conference championship game, for God's sakes. It's the second most important thing we got behind the Super Bowl. These are all teams that had a bye week, that had time to rest. I'm sorry guys are tired. I'm sorry somebody might pull up with a little dehydration or a muscle cramp. This is the whole point of training for 24 hours a day, 365 days a year since you were a little kid. It's this. Please decide it with football. Please don't have any gimmicks. Just let them play, for God's sakes. There's too much on the line. But the alternative is you just scream play defense in a league that's clearly gone away from defense. It's a 38-31 game, but sure, encourage one team to just start playing defense. These two teams are so evenly matched, doing things at such a high level. You don't want 15 more minutes of them going back and forth? Someone goes for two with the last possible. You don't want more excitement? You want to just watch the Patriots march down the field and end it? That's better? I can't imagine it. Can't.
What would you guys do with overtime in the playoffs? That's the question on Grant and Danny right now. Are you fine with how it is because the Chiefs had a chance to make a play like the Rams did and they didn't? 800-636-1067. Or are you with us? Both teams got to touch the football. We got to do something different. What's your fix? Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener line's yours. We're G&D. This is The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
.11:45, our double play, and at noon, our Beltway Blitz. You know the drill. Couple of daily staples smack dab in the middle of the show. 12:18. Jason LaConfora was on with me yesterday, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
The report over the weekend that was not stunning if you're a Redskins fan and you've been around this team for any amount of time, but definitely disappointing and devastating, was that Jay Gruden really had nothing to do with the defensive coordinator search. It was all Dan Snyder putting on the full court press to try to bring in Todd Bowles, and he was doing it old school. flying the jet to pick him up, bringing him in, not letting him leave, telling him he would change anything he needed to about the organization to get Todd Bowles.
Oh, man.
Mostly, in my opinion, because Todd Bowles played here one time.
Yep.
And Joe Gibbs, according to Jason Lock on Forest, said you should have looked at him as your head coach last time you hired a head coach.
He has the same affinity for Todd Bowles that I do. I remember 1987 very well. It was a lot of fun. I had a great time. I was a child. Dan was a little older than me, but he was still in his formative years as well. I really enjoyed it. I'm not necessarily in favor of bringing back the entire cast of 1987 to be various personnel in the Redskins front office. Now, I'd love Todd Bowles to be the defensive coordinator. Don't get me wrong, but I need this not to be the play either. There's one way to do it, football person making football decisions. This is the opposite of that. This is the non-football twerp using his money to fly around the country and make wrong decisions. I need a good process once before I'm dead.
If you missed Lock on Four yesterday, fantastic, and so many good nuggets on that search and on the Bowles interviews. We'll play some of that audio for you coming up at 12:18 here on Grant and Danny. But let's get to the calls at 800-636-1067. Rich is in Olney. Rich,
Richard.
How are you?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
Good.
Come in.
All right, guys, I got the fix here. You get your 10-minute overtime, that's fine. Each team gets guaranteed one possession of the ball. If each team scores the same amount of points, like both teams score a touchdown, then you go tit for tat back and forth. So if New England had kicked a field goal, then Kansas City has to at least kick a field goal. If they turn it over or they lose it on downs, then game over. If the second team scores more points on their possession, they win.
I like your theory, Rich, but here's my response to that. I don't need gimmicks in the NFC title game. I don't need gimmicks in the conference championship. I just need 15 minutes on the clock and let's go. I need that.
But you want to play the full quarter?
Yeah, I'd like to just play and get an outcome.
I don't want to play the full quarter because there's a real good chance you're tied at the end of the quarter. What I would do is I would play football, and you can have a clock or not have a clock. You probably have a clock. That's fine. So you have the 15-minute quarter. Difference being that both teams have to touch it, and that after the first round of each team is out of possession, as an example, you go for two, a la college. In other words, that way it's not 7-7-7-7-7 back and forth. And I wouldn't even hate it if you said do whatever you want, because if you want to just match it with an extra point, cool. Or if your team's tired, you can make the decision to win it with two, and the game's on the line on the two-point conversion. But I'm with you. Football. Just play the game. My only caveat is that they play the game right now. Both teams have to touch the football. Patriots march down the field, score, kick the extra point. The Chiefs now get their drive. And if they don't score, the game's over. In other words, if the Patriots go down and score, the Chiefs get the ball back, and they punt three and out, I don't want to play 12 more minutes. I think the game ends right there. And that's, I guess, the only difference between where we're both trying to play an extra quarter of the game, and for me, until the game's over. Edwin, Silver Spring, how's it going?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, guys. How are you doing? Happy New Year.
You too.
I'm happy to talk to you guys. Big fan of yours. Let me say this, first of all. I've listened to your show for years. I think the reason you're so strong on this opinion is because the Patriots won. That's why. But that being said.
That's not correct.
I promise you it's not.
You can think that. I don't know what to tell you. You can, you're like, I say it's not. You say it is.
I've hated overtime rules my entire life.
If you've listened to our show, you know that we've critiqued overtime for 3 years on the show. Constantly.
It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal.
Okay, do you understand that, though, Edwin? That we have literally done this segment 50 times, and we've talked about changing overtime rules every time?
I understand that. This is my view on overtime. If they're tied, first of all, Kansas City has numerous opportunities to win the game. If they're tied at the end of regulation, which is enough time for a team who is deserving to win to seize the victory.
So they just deserve to lose overtime, then?
No. Well, let me put it this way. If you can't grab it by both hands, then you don't really deserve to win in the playoffs. That's my view.
So did the Patriots grab it by the horns or no?
Yes, they grabbed it by both sides. Yes,
they had the same criteria going into overtime that the Chiefs did. So they grabbed it by the horns, but the Chiefs didn't. The Patriots didn't win it in regulation either. So were they losers?
Let me say that. Well, Kansas City had the opportunity to win the game with a touchdown late in the last possession. But
yeah, the Patriots had the opportunity to win three times if they kept them out of the end zone and fell behind every time.
Okay, well, this is my view on overtime. I agree with the earlier opinion that teams, if you get one possession, you score. The other team gets to match in their possession. Because there's no, if you're tied, if they don't do it right there, right then they lose. Because
so then we have the same philosophy then. You want both teams to touch the ball.
Yeah, but I don't think Kansas City's a victim. They lost. They had a chance to win the game all through regulation. They didn't do it.
I'm not sure they're a victim any more than every other team that never gets to touch the ball in overtime is a victim. We agree. I mean, you think that we have some Patriots bias? That's cool. I'm saying the exact same thing I've said for 5 years of hosting this radio show. Every team that plays in the game, generally there are two of them. I don't care if it's the Patriots or the Bugs Bunny All-Stars from friggin' Space Jam. If you're playing in overtime in the NFL playoffs, you get to touch the football, period. I don't do the Tom Brady got the ball and marched down the field and scored and the extra point was kicked and Pat Mahomes sat on his hand and watched and now he's got to go into the locker room as a loser. Now, if you stop Kansas City, you win. We actually have the same philosophy with the only difference being it sounds like that you think I hate the Patriots. Let's go to Dave in Chantilly. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, I think either one of your ideas would be great, but but they have to get rid of the coin toss. Danny is absolutely right. That 10% advantage is outrageous, and you don't really have to look any farther than Vegas to see how right Danny really is. A roulette table in Vegas is operated on a 5% advantage, and Vegas cleans up.
Yes, they do.
They built an empire on that. If you look at the craps table, a pass line bet, the house has a 1.5% advantage. A place bet on a 6 or 8 is a 1.6% advantage. To get a 10% advantage in Vegas, you have to make a proposition bet, and anybody that plays craps knows that that's the stupidest move they could make. Any of my kids make a proposition bet, I reach across the table, I slap them in the head. 10% bet, that coin toss has got to go. I don't understand how people as intelligent as the people who put together a game as wonderful as football is could possibly put up with this for so long.
It's a great phone call.
It's a great
By
call.
The way, and going back, you're using the math behind the percentage chance of the outcome. I'm going to just use the game that played out. If Kansas City got the ball, they would have gone down and scored a touchdown.
Probably, yeah.
The Patriots couldn't stop them in the fourth quarter. Here's what they did in the fourth quarter. 9 plays, 62 yards, touchdown. 2 plays, 23 yards, touchdown. 5 plays, 40 yards, touchdown. 4 plays, 48 yards, field goal, and the only reason they kicked was because they ran out of time, and that's what tied the game. Otherwise, they would have kept moving because they got to the 16-yard line, I think it was, or the 20-yard line with 16 seconds left. New England, the 5 times they had the ball, could not stop them, and in fact, gave up 5 touchdown drives, the last one they settled for the field goal, in the last 7 possessions of the game after halftime. So the coin toss decided the AFC Championship game. That and Tom Brady on third down being automatic.
Either you can live with, I'm not saying, because sometimes defenses do stop somebody, right? It happened in the Saints-Rams game. Either you can live with the chance that a team could win the coin toss and go win the game, and you think that's fine, or you can't believe anyone thinks that. And that's where I am. I can't believe anyone is okay with it. I will never understand this position. It's somehow like they should have won it in regulation, or stop somebody or some other kind of weird thing. This, it places an undue value on an arbitrary 50-50 thing. The football players are so good. They've gotten to such a fine point. I can't believe any rule would remove that, would remove how great these guys are and the ability to go back and forth. I can't believe anyone's in favor of it.
I wanted it to last all night. The double play is next. Fast food restaurant. People rave about it. They like it. I went into one for the first time in probably a year and a half or 2 years. Couldn't believe how pleasant the experience was. Grant and Danny on the Fan. You're locked in, G&D on the Fan on Bruce Allen Talks today. Day.
Night.
I'm not counting this a press conference where everyone got to come grill him and ask him questions. This is a time that he's going to talk with about 5 to 7 reporters who made the trip down to Mobile, Alabama.
They're going
to
say that he did it, and they're going to hide behind that.
Better than nothing.
It's better than nothing.
I give them credit.
One is more than zero.
He either answers questions or he doesn't, and it's so rare that he does. So this is the first time in well over a year that he's going to do it. So there's credit for that. But this does not end the drought of over 1,000 days since he's had an actual real-life, anyone who wants to come grill me can press conference.
I am wondering how it's going to end. I think he's going to pretend to see somebody that he knows, and he says, well, thanks very much, and he'll, like, point to the guy and go, hey, Mike, and, like, run over there.
If you're the president of the United States, and you talk to the traveling corps of, like, seven people that's on your plane and stuff, after you take off from a rally on the plane, different than, hey, we're going to be at the West Wings, Podium 6, tomorrow at noon. Any network that wants to be there with a question can come and get on the list.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit different.
Slightly different.
It is time for our double play, what's going on in our lives that has nothing to do with sports. First, a story. Second, a couple of thoughts on an experience I recently had.
Please.
Mercedes-Benz Stadium is going to host the Super Bowl in Atlanta. Inside that Mercedes-Benz Stadium is a Chick-fil-A.
Yes, of course.
That Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays because all Chick-fil-A's are closed on Sundays. Now, you'll probably remember that Mercedes-Benz Stadium is home to the Atlanta Falcons, and that means that 8 regular season, 2 preseason, 10 of the largest stadium dates that Chick-fil-A could potentially make money are not used because they keep it closed on Sundays.
Yes, they do.
The Super Bowl will be there. Chick-fil-A will not be opening on Super Sunday. It will remain closed. Everyone's going to get very upset by this and be up in arms and make fun of Chick-fil-A and tell you how terrible they are and how stupid they are. I love it. It's funny how everybody is so understanding and so, like, woke until they disagree with your philosophies. You understand what I'm saying?
Of course I do, yes.
Oh, everyone needs to be nice to everyone, and everyone needs to be accepting and understanding. They're not opening on Sundays because they want to keep the day for whatever Christian belief they have. I hate them. They're stupid. That's the way the world works, by the way. As long as people's philosophies line up with you, then it's okay. But otherwise, you're just annoyed and inconvenienced by them. I got no problem with what Chick-fil-A does. That's their business, not mine.
Sure.
If they want to keep their business closed on Sundays and cost themselves an S ton of money like they do,
it's their business.
Please do it. And I actually respect it, to be honest with you. They've got a governing philosophy that they don't want to be open on Sundays, and they ride or die with it.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Good for you.
By the way, I happen to think it's so dumb. I think it's really, really dumb.
From a business standpoint, it is dumb.
From any standpoint, I think it's silly, but it's their call.
What's the other standpoint, other than business?
The standpoint that it's some sort of misguided attempt to remain holy and in line with some teaching, some sort of Christian doctrine.
Yeah.
I think it's nonsense, but that's their call.
Again, you're not very religious either.
Right. So it's their call.
Yeah.
Godspeed.
Exactly. So here's my thing on Chick-fil-A. I went to a Chick-fil-A this past week, okay? I have not been to a Chick-fil-A in probably 2-plus years. I used to go to Chick-fil-A all the time, right by our radio station in Atlanta.
Oh, it's so good.
I used to stop and get breakfast sandwiches, do you remember? For me, you, Dar, and AJ.
Oh, it was the best time.
Every single day. I would eat breakfast. I would bring in sandwiches for everybody.
People sleep on Chick-fil-A's breakfast, by the way.
Great breakfast.
Excellent coffee, plus sandwiches.
It's so good. So, I go into a Chick-fil-A. We were going down to Fredericksburg and coming back up, and I was with my wife and her mom, and we had gotten down really early before an event. We were like, you know what? They wanted Chick-fil-A.
Mm-hmm.
I can't eat a Chick-fil-A, but I was like, you know, they have those grilled nuggets. I could do that. I could get the grilled chicken. You know, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
We go in. It's nothing like anywhere that you go. I love McDonald's.
It's
I
so
love
pleasant.
Burger King. I love Wendy's. I'm assuming they pay their employees the same amount of money. Maybe they pay them more. I don't know. I don't get how these places are run so much better than those other places, so efficiently. I walk in. It's this well-oiled machine where I was like second in line. I was up there within 20 seconds. There's 50 people behind the counter working, shoulder to shoulder. The manager's walking around, and he says to one of them, let's say the kid's name was Danny. Danny, I don't see you doing anything. If you don't have anyone to help, I need you scrubbing the counter, buddy. Like, I mean, it was unbelievable.
I know, it's a machine.
It was a military operation. Then I get up there and they do the, how may I be of assistance to you? May I help you today? You're a lovely human being. Your eyes look great. I mean, whatever else they say.
Sure.
So I place my order. I've never seen this. They give you like this plastic bucket, basically. They hand you with your condiments and your napkins and your straws. And it's got like a picture on the side. And it's how they find out where your seat is when they bring out your food in a minute.
Exactly. Time saver.
So, but it's just like this thing with all your, like, condiments. Sounds like nothing. Seems like not a big deal. It's just done like a restaurant.
Well, it just saves you that awkward trip where you find your seat, get a couple napkins. Remember, you have to go get a barbecue sauce, 100%. Get back up, and fill it a little vat with it. They handle it.
So, we're sitting at the table. They bring over the food. It's almost as if you had a waiter. I couldn't believe this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is in every Chick-fil-A all the time, if this was just the one experience. So we're sitting there. I get my little nuggets. They're getting their meals, whatever. And the lady goes, may I get you guys anything else? I said, no, we're good. Did you forget any condiments? Do you guys need a drink? Need a refill? I said, I think we're good. Thank you. 5 minutes later, we're wrapping up. Everything's done. This guy comes over. He's like, can I get your trash? You absolutely may.
Sure.
He takes our trash. And then a lady comes around right behind him with mints. And she says,
mints.
Would you guys like some mints? I said, I would love a mint. Thank you. She hands us mints. She goes, what about a refill? I said, look at my iced tea. It's pretty empty. I'm like, no, I'll just get it before I walk out. Thanks. They're offering me mints and refills.
Amazing,
at Chick-fil-A.
Right?
That place does it right. So hate them because they close on Sunday if you want to. What an establishment that is. They run a smooth operation.
It's a good ship.
Is everything run like that? Like, do their managers go through more training?
I don't know.
Or do they have, like, a higher salary for, like, how do they do it so different than the other places?
I don't know.
And I like the other places. I don't get to eat at them anymore, but I like them.
You hear about them.
I would punch someone in the face right now if I could eat a quarter pounder with cheese, a large fry, and a Coke and not get fatter. If my body comp didn't tell you that I did that next time I'm at EMP 180, I would let you hit me in the stomach with a baseball bat to eat that today twice.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Chick-fil-A is just, it's just so different.
It's another world, man.
It's like going to fine dining.
I know.
Fast food. Is it like that everywhere?
The ones I've experienced, yeah. I mean, again, it's been a minute. It's certainly been a while since I've been able to do
so
it.
So how do they do it?
I have no idea.
Why is it so different?
I have no idea. Their culture, whatever you want to call it, like at most of the establishments, the franchises, just so good. I don't know how they do that. I don't know. I wish I did. I would have those guys that train the trainers, have them, you know, work with some of the pro sports teams in town, have a better working culture. You can probably guess which too.
Man, is it good. That chicken, bro. So delicious. So perfect. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Beltway Blitz at noon. Jason Lockenfora on the Bruce Allen mess with Dan Snyder. Going after Todd Bowles and whether or not Snyder knows that Bruce Allen is who we all know he is. 12:18 right here on the Fan.
Hi, everybody. Danny Ruglia here from my pals at Ted Britt Ford. New year means new deals for my guys over there at Ted Britt Ford. Get after the new year. How about the new 2018 F-150? You can save over $11,000 off the MSRP or 0% APR for 60 months. Plus, $1,800 in bonus cash. That's right. You can drive smart in the 2019 Ford EcoSport. How about just $199 a month? Drive a new 2019 Escape for just $225 a month. Or you can buy from Ted Britt Ford. And when you do, get yourself 120% Kelley Blue Book value for your trade. And take that old busted joint to my guys in Fairfax Chantilly at Ted Britt Ford. Get 120% Kelley Blue Book value. And then you can use that to get yourself a brand new ride from Ford. Because when you buy from Ford, you get a little something. Called Ted Britt for Life. That's lifetime vehicle coverage. Comes standard, really, with new vehicles from Ted Britt Ford. New, pre-owned, doesn't matter. Anything less than 100,000 miles, you get it. Great service rental program, powertrain warranty, windshield repair, Virginia inspection. Go see him and tell him.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.